Good morning, everybody. I think it's probably time for us to get started today. I'm told there's one more hot week left, and after that, question mark. So, I choose to believe that this might be our last hot week. It is September. Does everybody have a copy of Natural Evangelism? Now, you didn't have to bring it today, but if you have one at your house, we're going to be going through a chapter every week. And if you don't have one, let me know, and we'll get a copy. If we need to order more, we'll order more. Anybody missing one, want one? Okay. Did anyone do their homework? Did you? Okay. Okay. Good, because I'll need plenty of help this morning. Let me get us started with a word of well, let me get us started in a word of prayer. We'll remind you. Dear Lord, we're so thankful for the opportunity to get together here and to look into your word. Father, we know that you've put a place of trust in us, and we know that that trust is to spread the good news. We know that the commission that was given forth so many years ago falls upon our shoulders now. And Lord, we would ask that you give us courage to speak to our neighbors and our friends and the people we meet in the community, that you give us the recollection of your scripture, and that you give us the motivation to tell our own stories, just the simple facts of our relationship with you, how we came to know you, Lord, how we came to love you, how we rely on you, and the promises you've made to us, Father. That's all we ask, is that you enable us to speak the truth to those who we meet. We know that your word, the sacrifice of Jesus, your love for humanity, will do the rest. We would ask you to bless us today here at Glenpool, students and teachers alike. Prepare us to look into your word, to discuss together, to talk about some of these concepts and challenges that face us. Be with those who are separated from us by illness, Father, and we're so thankful for the healing you've given to those who are back with us. We would ask that you continue to heal our dear brothers and sisters who are infirm, that they might grow in strength, and that they might encourage us with their continued presence. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I had a break about 2 weeks ago at my work. I'm a manager at a company that's based in Australia, and I work from a home office. And our software periodically will pop up and say, "Hey, you've been working for 4 hours straight. Why don't you take a break and log off?" And I'm just not used to that. Where I worked in the past, there was a guy down the hall who, if I left my desk, would be like, "Why don't you get back to work?" And so I have gotten into the habit of keeping books around, and I will read a little bit. And I had I don't know how long of a break I took, but I want to say I had a 15-minute break, and I completely read the first chapter very easily in that time. And my first impression of this book was, well, I don't know what there was there, but when I went back to actually put a lesson plan together, there's quite a bit here. And there's some really good scriptures we're going to look into. But if you read this fairly quickly, 5 pages plus half another, you're not alone. It is a quick read. Let me read from the first paragraph. "I have a good friend who says he's figured out why people don't tell others about Jesus." And we are, by the way, I'm not being a good Vanna White. I should hold up the product. This is Natural Evangelism by Matthew W. Is it Maureen? If Bruce doesn't know, I don't have a chance. Okay, "I have a good friend who's figured out why people don't tell others about Jesus. The reason more Christians don't evangelize is they're not even sure themselves that they are happy in the church. I have an Amazon Prime account. For $99 a year, I get two-day shipping, streamed movies and TV shows, a massive playlist of songs, a wide selection of audiobooks and magazines to download on my Kindle app. I even get cloud storage for my pictures and videos. I also have an Amazon Prime credit card so I can get a 5% discount on everything my family buys on the Amazon website. I consider Amazon Prime a blessing, not a burden, and I'm fully invested in their program. I'm glad to pay Amazon a yearly fee because of the value being a Prime member provides. That's a commitment of a fee-based structure from a vendor called Amazon. I'm not going to explain who Amazon is. If you haven't heard of Amazon, we'll have a remedial class for you next week. But what's interesting is I am an Amazon Prime member, and I did hear about Amazon Prime because of somebody who sounded about this enthused. Oh, you need to sign up for the Prime thing. I didn't say I'm not a joiner. Just in a view, those of you who know me, I'm not a joiner. I come from a long line of not joiners, right? The Prescotts don't attach. If there's more than four people getting together doing something, a Prescott will cross the street to avoid that situation because we just don't want to accidentally get in a club or a group of any kind. But I had a coworker, and I want to say, boy, it can't be 20 years ago, but a good long time ago when Amazon first started Prime, just really extolled the virtues of Prime to me. And it was $79 then. And they started you off for free. I think you got a year for free, is how I got into Prime. And they offered a lot of stuff. What they offer is less now, 20 years later or some. What they charge is more. So I want us to think about this as we compare and contrast Amazon and God. That's a very interesting way to start a book. It's a challenging way to start a book. But the point is, he's so excited about the value he gets for his small Amazon investment that he is happy to tell others. Happy to talk about it. And he didn't say, what did he say? One sentence. For $99 a year, comma, he's out. Then he starts talking about everything he gets. The give was just one quick mention. This is what I give. And then it was all about what he gets from the relationship. And that's the part I think we need to focus on. I've extracted that because Amazon doesn't compare well to the Lord God Almighty. I'm as big a Jeff Bezos fan probably as anybody who doesn't know him. I love entrepreneurs. I'm a capitalist. Good for him. When I heard he was going to sell books through the mail, I'm a bibliophile, have a huge library. I thought, oh, that'll never work. Books are heavy. Shipping is expensive. This guy's doomed to fail. I mean, it's literally what I said to anybody who would listen. Well, he's done anything but fail. But comparing him to God is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. It would be no different than comparing the mightiest king who ever walked the earth to God, right? No king had power like our Lord does. So let's just nip that in the bud before we get too far along. Okay. Both of these agreements, Christianity and Amazon Prime, are entered into by free will. Do you agree? Can you go with me that far? Both have costs. Both have benefits. Are we more willing to promote some company than our Lord? And I think that's what the author's trying to challenge us with. People get excited about companies. And it doesn't have to be Amazon Prime. Some years ago, somebody was offering an NFL game package where you could watch whatever game, right? Some service. And I do not have cable television. Haven't in a long, long time. I just wasn't interested in that, although I really enjoy football. The concept was you could watch any game. And they were really excited about this package. And you'll hear people from time to time say, I just found a really good deal on something. I found a good office supply furniture in Sepulpa. I told three or four of you about it. that new Mayfield. They actually treated me quite well. I'm happy to report that that vendor did good by me. But are we more willing to share an experience like that than Christianity? And I think that can be challenging. Anybody have any comments about this comparison? How did it strike you when you read the Amazon Prime comparison? Sir? Yes.
And about his background.
Yeah.
Where he came from, how he became a Christian.
Yeah.
I can see him using that.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm okay with the... I'll be honest with you guys. I'm okay with an analogy or a simile or metaphor. As my boss told me years ago, I think it was at General Electric, an analogy is like an old Buick. It'll get you down the road quite a ways, but they always break down eventually. And you just have to know where the limits of the comparison are, right? And I think as Christians, it's not challenging to us to see God compared to Amazon Prime. As long as we understand Amazon Prime's not divine, as long as we understand the idea is, am I excited enough about my Christianity to tell people about it? Did you ever eat somewhere that was so good you had to tell people about it? Has this happened to anybody? Remember before COVID when their new restaurants used to open? Does anyone have a memory that goes back that far? I live over on the Bixby side, and in Bixby, the cycle of a new restaurant is it first opens, everyone's so excited, you can get in the first week, and then if it does well, you can never get in again. You won't go there for a year. And then after the crazy dies down, you can get into the new restaurant, but by then it's already on the way out. Something's going to go wrong. We had a good little German place in Bixby for a while until somebody drove into the front of the building two different times. They crashed into the front of the building, like physically drove a car into it. And after that, it was back to being Mom's Family Diner, which is a fine diner, by the way. I have no complaints about their hash and eggs. But it was actually really good German food in there for about a year. And I told, I think it was Ethan, no, it was Eli, this is too good to last. This restaurant won't make it. This is really good food. They're spending a lot of time on this food because the schnitzel's hard to make. Don't get me started on German food. But it was great. Didn't make it, didn't last. But during the time it was open, I told many of you to go try that German place. And I think that's what the author would like us, the fervor. Can I say fervor? Can I do zeal? I was a zealous proponent of that restaurant for a while. Mr. Jim. Yep. Yeah, that made me pucker up.
You know, if you were not satisfied with Amazon Prime, if you didn't think it was such a great deal, you wouldn't be going around telling it.
Agreed.
Or any other thing that you happened on to, a good restaurant I'm working on, a good meat pie greasers, or whatever the case may be, that we pass on to people. And so, is there some significance here that maybe we don't see the significance?
Let's unpack that, but first, for our home audience, let me reread the sentence you highlighted, Jim. Thank you. The reason more Christians do not evangelize is that they're not even sure themselves that they're happy in the church. That is amazing. And that is why my second bullet item on the board is there. Both are entered into by free will. Did anybody grow up in the Church of Christ? Give me a good big hand raise. Okay. Now, you could have stayed Church of Christ just almost on momentum. And I don't mean that you did. I know you didn't. Nobody's accidentally become a Christian, right? There's no... You have to knock for the door to be opened, is the example we're given in Scripture. But it's very easy to be culturally assimilated into a group because your parents were. Does that make any sense? I grew up in a small town in Iowa with German, Czech, and Amish neighbors. And I am pretty well versed in German food, right? Never set out to become a German food expert. I'm not particularly German, genetically, perhaps zero. But I ended up in that way. And I can sit down and handle a good verse with anybody. But I think we need to have an understanding, to Jim's point, that we chose Christianity. And I think we need to remember that we chose Christianity when we're talking to people. We're not culturally Christian. These Barna polls where they come out and say 62% of Americans identify as Christian, but 18% of them went to church last week. Do you read that like I do and go, well, what's Christian about you? if you're forsaking gathering together in fellowship, how Christian can you be? That's cultural Christianity. And that's not useful to me. And I don't think it's useful to God when it comes to evangelism. You have to have made the choice to be a Christian by free will. And you have to, all the examples we're going to look at this semester, this quarter, point to, you have to tell that story. You have to tell your story. Some of you overcame things that are amazing to believe. Some of us came out of horrible family situations with addiction and trouble, where unbiblical principles led to foolish home situations. Bad, right? Tough, wrong, upside down. There are people out there in those situations today who need to hear our story, who need to hear how we chose Christianity. They need to hear how God spoke peace into our lives when we weren't peaceful people. They need to hear how God made us care for others when we only cared for them ourselves. That whatever your story is, and I'm not here to tell you your own story, I'm telling you your story needs to be heard. And I think that's part of what we're going to get into. Let me go 2 Corinthians 4, and I'm going to read 7 to 11. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. But we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So, for a book that the first chapter can be read in 8 minutes, that is a heavy scripture. And it's the scripture that kept me interested in this as a teacher. That is an amazing passage of scripture. Yep. And let's talk about jars of clay. What's your opinion on jars of clay in the ancient world? What was a jar of clay for them? Safekeeping. The jar itself probably was not looked upon with a great deal of sacred behavior, right? When the archaeologists go to an ancient community, what's the first thing and the most common thing they find? Pottery shards. And when they find a bunch of pottery shards together, do you know what they found? Yes, but what part of city? They did this in Boston recently, when they were digging an underground train. Kiewit Incorporated was running that construction project, and the whole project got stopped because they pulled up a bunch of pottery shards. They'd found the dump. They found an ancient town dump, and everything stopped. And stopped for 18 months, I think. You can look it up in the Boston Globe. And archaeologists came in and said, hold on, we got to look at this. Because clay was pretty prevalent in especially this Middle Eastern world and in the Mediterranean. And you could, with some wood and some charcoal, fire your own clay. and make a vessel for whatever you needed. And don't take this the wrong way, but jars of clay is a humble thing, right? That if I don't even, some of you have Peterson. I shudder to think what Peterson put in here, but if he did something like an aluminum beer can or a styrofoam cup, he wouldn't be far off. He would not be far off. So we are a humble vessel that contains what?
Treasure.
So there goes all my pride. I mean, I did my hair this morning for 15, 20 minutes, right? Well, I did not, actually. I do have to brush these eyebrows because they come out like that crazy professor in Back to the Future where his eyebrows jump out like they're 3D eyebrows. So really, that's all I have to work on. But any time I spent on my appearance or pressing my shirt or... that's vanity. After I'm cleaned, is the rest of that pure vanity? How beautiful will I be? Even if I were, what's the most handsome actor going these days? Anybody? Who do you like?
It's still Tom Selleck.
It's still Tom Selleck? Really? That old leathery alligator? Sorry, I apologize, Mr. Selleck. So, even if I were Tom Selleck, that's a good-looking jar of clay. Can you agree with me on that? Except I don't like that mustache. But there's treasure. And where'd the treasure come from? Okay, where'd the heart come from? It's all from God. It's all from God. Everything great, everything perfect, everything wonderful comes from God. We're going to come back to the scripture in a little bit, but let's rock on and go. Let's have a look at Amazon Prime. Do you guys do value equations as part of your work? A big part of my work traditionally had been talking companies into doing these $45 million software projects. And I would always start off a value equation for them. And the value equation would be simply, this is what you're going to give, this is what you're going to get, right? I would use sophisticated words like return on investment, capitalization, amortization. We consider it over 10 years, 20 years, whatever, however long we thought the investment would pay off. And I'm here to tell you, not all those ROIs came to pass. I sat in front of some boards of directors and told them we'd make our money back in 5 years and we maybe took 12. I had a couple that I told them we'll keep this system for 20 years so we'll pay for itself, and they replaced it after 10. And they were happy to get rid of it. So it's with humility that I throw up a value equation here for Amazon Prime. It currently costs $139 a year and you get fast shipping in theory. Anybody have Prime in here? Does your stuff always arrive in 2 days? Y'all good? Next day sometimes. Videos you can stream. You can do the Prime app on your phone, on your television, and watch whatever shows Amazon has for you. And there are other teasers. It's not free audiobooks like it used to be. It's not free magazines like it was when the author. I find it interesting that over time Amazon's value equation has eroded. Less stuff is offered now, and it costs almost double the money. What's the value equation for Christianity? And I, please forgive me if at my high-level representations. We have to give our obedience, and I listed that first because that was difficult for me. Remember those people that don't join? They don't like to be told what to do? That's the people who created me. Christianity is a struggle for me. The yoke is easy. The burden is light. But it's a yoke. It's a burden. Calling Jesus my Savior is so easy. Calling him my Lord is difficult because the Lord expects things of me. One of the things he expects is happening here today. I'm teaching class. If you would have told my Sunday school teachers that I would be teaching Sunday school, there are a couple of them that would raise their eyebrows. They'd go up into the hairline. Did that kid? That kid? our service, our resources. And what resources? I didn't define that, did I? You find that interesting? I didn't even say a tithe or a contribution. I said our resources. Because all of you in here have given your resources beyond what you put in a collection plate. I know people in here who've given a spare car to somebody in need quietly and on the down low. You do too. I'm sure you do. So what do we get for all this? Salvation. Okay. You got me. I'm in. And I'm sorry. You don't need anything else on the get side to make this a good value equation. Not a single thing, in my opinion. Anyone want to argue with me? What's the alternative if we don't have our salvation? Where do we spend eternity? Apart from God. We're going to spend eternity somewhere. Do you all agree to that? And while we're evangelizing, we're going to learn this in a later lesson. That's a huge concept. We're all going to spend eternity somewhere. If you don't believe it, get with me after class. We'll walk you through it. We're going to spend eternity somewhere. Salvation means we spend it with God. We get blessings beyond measure. Who in here hasn't been blessed recently by something that's happened with your church family? Good. Good. Thank you for not raising hands. There's at least one person in this room who's a blessing to me that they are healthy enough to come out today. And that happens to me all the time. I get blessed. And blessed and blessed and blessed. And even more blessings are being had down the hall. Todd's teaching that 5-8. After Todd got up here and said, you all need to teach that class, Todd came to me and said, I'm teaching that class. And I guarantee you, he's getting a huge blessing this morning from those kids. Those are bright kids in that class, 5th through 8th grade. Jim, you said you look like you're about to say something. Yeah.
18% of church. Yep. I had an opportunity years ago when I was a fellow and he said, we'd like you to join the JCs, which is the Junior Chamber of Commerce.
Okay. Right. Right.
You know, whatever the difference is between 18% and 16%, I think there are those people that join the JCs.
It may be. It may be. And Jim's point is the difference between the 60-some percent who say they're Christians, culturally perhaps, and the 18 or less now probably that actually attended a church last week. Because when you ask, do you attend church regularly, they get one answer. But when you say, did you attend last week, the number drops a lot. And I'm going to talk about why that is a little bit later. So put a pin in that and get back with me on that in a minute. Right. No, and you're on like lesson three, but I love where you're at. But everyone remember what Jim said. It's a participative sport, right? It's not a spectator sport, Christianity. So, does Amazon Prime deliver? And I'm glad some of you have had good luck with Prime. This is a message I get fairly often. And I think it's because I live out in the boonies a little bit. Hey, your package is on the way, but it's delayed. Jeff Bezos never gives me my money back, no matter how many of these messages I get a year. And I literally searched my email for running late before I came this morning. And I had 5 screens full of these messages from Amazon. And what happens is they're trying to optimize things so they'll hold it at the truck so that it can come with tomorrow's delivery. I'm not going to complain. But again, I'm not sure the value equation. Every time this happens, the value equation goes a little bit negative on that, right? And that's Bezos. Will God be faithful to us? And for that, I'm wandering off to 2 Thessalonians 3, 3 through 5. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. My reference was just 2 Thessalonians 3, that the Lord is faithful. But Jim, to your point, I had to include those other two verses because that's us standing up and being in the relationship as well. Yeah. So back to the author's point, though. Do we focus when we talk to people on what we give in our church relationship or what we get? So here's a list of things that we could negatively say we give. I have to get dressed up in long pants. Right? And so I had to find pants that are clean, that are still in my size, because there's been shrinkage in my closet. I think moths get in there, and they must eat things in such a way that it makes them smaller, perhaps. I don't know. I'm not a scientist, okay? I can't say what makes my pants not fit after a few years, but something is going on. Sooner or later, I'm going to find out the cause. I have to be there for 9:45 for Sunday school. That's pretty early. Anybody come from a tradition of sleeping in a lot? Shouldn't ask that to the people who came to Sunday school. You clearly don't. A lot of our neighbors are sleeping in, I promise you, on Sunday mornings. I can't chew tobacco in the building, right? Or whatever your habit is, right? If you're hepped up on the whatever. I don't know the current drugs, so I can't say anything about the drugs. But if you're using some drug, you can't do that either. They want me to take my hat off. I'm bald. I don't want people to know I'm bald. It's a well-kept secret that I have no hair on the top of my head because I wear that hat all day. No one has any idea. But if I have to go to church, I have to be my real self and take off my hat. That's terrible. If you're a lady, you don't have to do that. So you guys win the hat game. They pass a plate for money. These people, I went, and they were shaking me down for money the first time I visited that church. They had a silver plate that I had to hand it to my neighbor. And then he was going to see if I didn't put anything in there. Oh. They have three or more events a week that I have to get to. It's just a constant mess. There's something going on at that building on Wednesdays, Sunday evening, and then sometimes they'll have a fourth thing. It's a mess. I have to always be down there. It's terrible. That's what I'm giving. Is that your focus? Are you a good evangelist? What did the Amazon Prime guy say? He had half of one sentences. For $99 a year, I get. And he started on the get. So let's do the get. And please, again, supplement my get. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Okay, that's pretty good again. We're good. We're in a good place now. Okay. I have an expectation of spending eternity with God in heaven as a result of that. Okay. I'm at peace with God and man. How many of you didn't live at peace before you were a Christian? I didn't. I'm contentious. I come from a long line of contentious people. In the beginning of the Odyssey, Homer describes Odysseus as a man who was skilled in all forms of contending. And that's a delightful phrase. And it basically means somebody who will argue with you all day and beat you up all night, whatever needs done. And many of us come from backgrounds where we're ready to fight. We're ready to quarrel. We're happy to disagree. We're happy to run each other down. Defame, badmouth, slander, fight, hit, kick, stomp. God calls us to peace. He doesn't only call us to personally be at peace. He equips and enables us to make peace. We should make things more peaceful when we get there. Whenever I see two kids fighting in a school, it's always a Christian who steps in to put a stop to that. It's always a Christian. You'll see people hesitate. You'll see a Christian step forward. That's who we are. I get to shape the future generations of, help shape future generations of Christians. That's going on down the hall right now. Is that an obligation or a blessing? That's a blessing. That's a blessing. If anybody who looks at it the other way just turns it, needs to turn it around. I can worship God with fellow believers several times a week. Whatever deficiencies we have in our Christianity, whatever lack of understanding I might have, you dear people are here for me every week. Can I just say it that way? You help me when I'm teaching, and you help me more when I'm a student. And that is part of what we're doing here. The scripture doesn't speak the same way to me. I love Jim's comments because Jim and I see the scripture about 15 degrees different, right? If you're looking at an old car and you see the headlight view and the girl's perfect, that's a really good looking car. But if you stand over on the side about 45 degrees in the sunlight, sometimes you can see a ripple in the quarter panel. You know what I'm saying? Jim sees things differently than I do, even though we're looking at the same object. Even though we're considering the same scripture. Bruce has insights that would never occur to me in 100 years. All of you have that ability to look at it with your eyes and to share one with another. So that's a big get in my mind. Do you think people are trying to min-max Christianity? Now, when I wrote this, I was targeting the younger set. Do you guys, are you familiar with the term min-max? Okay, buckle up, boomers. We're going to learn a new phrase. This is a gaming term that means, what's the minimum outlay I have to do to get the maximum benefit from this situation? And it's crept into real life through Gen Z. What's the min-max on holding a job? Well, I have to go to the office 8 hours a week, but I don't actually have to do very much work. I found out that the minimum work I do, my boss finds it acceptable. That's min-maxing something. That's, you could say optimizing, but min-max is not the same as optimizing. Min-max is what's the minimum effort I can outlay to get the reward out of the deal. Like joining the JCs. I joined the JCs and I went to the meeting and they signed me in. And then after that, I never went to another meeting again. That's how you look at things, min-max. So I suspect that some of our neighbors, the Barna Group, differential, the Barna Delta, let's say call that the Barna Delta, I think they're trying to min-max Christianity. What might that look like if you want to do the minimum in Christianity and get the maximum reward? That's grouchy thinking. But I think we need to look at that because some of the people we're going to be talking to may have that mindset, or their parents might have had that mindset. So you'd get baptized ASAP. Get baptized is clearly the key here, right? Any arguments? I love being in a Church of Christ. That would have got some arguments elsewhere. Love it. Come to services every Easter and Christmas. What now? Well, we're doing the minimum here, aren't we? I always tell a joke. Our neighbor was a Christian preacher named Singleton, Jim Singleton. He and my dad were friends. My dad would help him on a few projects, and he would come over and plant trees sometimes with us. I was good friends with both of his boys, good kids. And my dad took me to church one time. I went to church with the neighbors, and my parents did not go. And my dad took me to church one time. And Jim didn't miss a beat. And when he saw my dad, he said, "Rod, I had no idea it was Easter already." And my dad got a real big kick out of that. But Jim wasn't strictly that far off the base. My dad rarely attended church. Because was he trying to min-max? Was he lazy? Don't get me started on my dad. But he wasn't there every week. So, is that what we're trying to do? And if that's who we are, no wonder we're not good advocates for Christianity. Oh, did I just double bell me? I think it's only 10 after. I better wrap it up though. Let's dig into some scripture. 2 Corinthians 4, 13 through 15. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believe, so I spoke. We also believe, so we also speak. Guys, if you get nothing else out of our lesson today, if you believe, speak. If you believe, speak. 14. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. That's not a min-max attitude at all, is it? That's not somebody trying to do the bare minimum and get by. Okay, I'm going to let the coconut stuff go, but the author talks about Christianity like a coconut. This is my AI coconut, by the way. I tried to make it so the coconut milk was coming out of the inside of the coconut. This is the best we could do with the AI art. The robot and I don't get along sometimes. But this is about 15 tries to get here. Christianity's like a coconut. It's hard to understand it from the outside. If you were, who was in the Navy? Jim? Any other sailors in here? Just you? If Jim was stranded on a desert island, and let's say he grew up in Oklahoma and didn't know anything about anything, I'm not saying that's not far off, he could be on a desert island full of coconuts, and Jim could starve to death if he didn't know, couldn't he? If he had no idea that inside that brown, hairy rock was wonderful sweet meat and drinkable sugar-infused liquid full of calories. Coconut's fairly healthy for you. There's almost nothing you can do with a coconut plant that won't be good for your body or your skin. He could starve, surrounded by coconuts, until someone shows him what a coconut is and how to get into it. And I think that's who we are, folks. We need to open up Christianity for people. We need to crack through the exterior that looks like a lot of obligations. It looks like a monetary expense. It looks like a time sink. It looks like you have to quit doing all the things you love. You're tobacco and your liquor and your whatever, go to bars or whatever heinous business people get into without God. It looks like I got to give up everything and then do a bunch of stuff. Until someone opens up the coconut and shows you how good it is inside. Now, if you don't like coconuts, I can't help you with this part of the lesson. But it's a wonderful analogy for what it is. And we're the ones who need to open up that coconut for people. Because they will not. They will not come here and try us out on their own. And if they do, they will not understand what they're seeing and hearing unless we interpret for them. They will not. It won't work. So, all right, I'm done. Thank you guys for your kind attention today. The only thing I wish I would have gotten to, you might check out Matthew 13, 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. Kingdom of heaven is like a merchant of fine pearls, and on finding one of great value. These are our parables that explain the kingdom. And again, we're the ones who have to do that explaining to non-believers. Have a great day. Thank you all for your attention.